Thank y'all.
Great to be here with you guys this morning.
Amen.
Hopefully somebody's life will be changed in this service. I'm telling Benny, you never know what you're going to see and what miracle might happen in church. Troubles and trials in my little lifespan. When I'm standing alone and the battle gets hard, I always do the best I can. I bust across a million valleys, shed about a million tears. When I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, I will have no fear. I will have no fear. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. Hallelujah. Hold it to his nail-scarred hand. Hold it to his nail-scarred hand.
Been a lot of people talking about me since I walked this narrow way. But that's just another little valley. I came through it when I prayed. I climbed a lot of high mountains, crossed a lot of little streams, but when I see old Jordan cold and dark, that'll be the last for me. That'll be the last for me.
One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I've got to go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Hold it to his nail-scarred hand. Hold it to his nail-scarred hand. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, and I'm leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand.
Amen. You never know what that next river is. It might be the last one. We're getting closer every day. Brother Benny Taylor, legendary Benny Taylor, he's been a runoff from I don't know how many cities. Yeah, I want him to sing this next song. It's called I Know a Man Who Can, and if anybody knows him, this fella right here knows him.
No matter what you face in this life, God is always in control.
I
I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sincere, wash it white as snow. Oh, but I know a man who can.
Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend.
If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand,
I know a man who can.
I can't walk upon the waters, I can't calm the raging seas. Oh, but I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open or the lame to walk again. Oh, but I know a man who can.
Florence, by the way, and lived in Lumberton for a while and then moved to Florence, right? That's the schedule.
I was born and raised in Lumberton, lived there till 1987, I believe. Moved to Florence, stayed there 13 years, and then went back to Lumberton. Then I ended up back in Florence on account of grandchildren. You know what that'll do to you. My wife's got four grandchildren. She said, we're going back to Florence. So we ended up back in Florence, been back in Florence about 12 years.
I know all about those grandkids. We got about, I can't hardly keep count of them. But this next song is called Did I Mention? And Sister Kathleen Madden does a great job. She resides in Greenville at the moment and commutes back and forth between Greenville and Florence. It's like a 2.5-hour drive for her every weekend. So she does a good job. So worship with her as she sings Did I Mention?
I'm thankful this morning that God is always faithful to his promises that he gives us. Amen.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly tell.
Without Jesus. That's the reason we do all of this. We're going to sing a little upbeat song that I wrote, and Brother Benny's written a few, I've written a few, and Kathleen?
Working on it.
She's working on one. So hopefully she'll be out with it. I've been hearing that for a good while now, so we're going to have to put some pressure on her. But it's called Wake Up, Get Up. So I hope it's not set too loud here.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Let there be light, echoed through the night. He hung each star by hand, put the sun in its place. And because of all His grace, one day I'll see His face. Wake up, get up, sing His glories in this place. He's made us in His image, pray for the amazing grace. He's walked on and paved the streets of gold. He's the master of all creation. His story needs to be told.
Light of the world, but they spat in His face. Nailed Him to a cross in that awful place. Laid Him in a tomb, but He was gone third morning light. Promised He'd come for me, and I'm gonna take my flight. Wake up, get up, sing His glories in this place. thing I was, I was reading about the other day and I'd forgot about. I think it's the third day of creation God made the herbs and the fields and the trees. And I never thought about this, but the fourth day is when he made the sun to control the light. You know, according to science, the sun is the reason everything grows, but according to the Bible, God put that stuff here before the sun. Think about that. He's been good to me. A lot of ups and downs in this old life, 64 years old. But he's been there with me every step of the way. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times that I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. And my trials come to only make me strong.
I've been a lot of places, and I've seen so many faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hour, my weakest lonely hour, Jesus led me know that I'm his own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word.
Well, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Sing one more, and this is a beautiful song. I don't do it justice, but just listen to the words of this song and sing it to the Lord is the best way. Well, that's the best way to sing any song. Forget about who all's around you. Sing those praises to the Lord and let him move in your life. But it's simply called Daystar. Sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000,
make me a reflection of your love. Day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Wrong in me and make it right. Day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes, Lord, I pray, Jesus, shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. You can take what's wrong in me and make it right.
Day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Day star shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Jesus, shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night.
So much. Y'all give them another hand. I think they'll welcome y'all back here anytime. Amen. I appreciate so much music that is from Scripture that just talks and speaks the words of God into our hearts. This morning, if you will, if you've got your Bible with you, if you'll turn to John chapter 14. I want to speak to you a few minutes about heaven. If y'all don't mind, y'all care if we talk about heaven? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and I just ask for help the next few minutes here, Lord, as we just look at your word, Lord, and just see that you have a cure for our troubled heart. Lord, for the anxiety that we have when trials, troubles come, as they've just sang, as Kyle was singing, Lord, that all I could think about was the words to that song, that we got one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley to go through. But one day, Lord, we'll be with Jesus, and we can touch that nail-scarred hand. And Lord, we'll behold him and know what you have created us to be, what you've redeemed us to become. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. As we look at this text this morning, I know you're all familiar with this text, and the message here, the title is, Do Not Let Your Heart Be Troubled. You could say that Jesus gives us the cure for a troubled heart, and he teaches us to trust what he tells us about heaven. And that's what we find in the scripture this morning. It's a very familiar scripture. You know, this week in general, I don't know if y'all know this, last week I had a lot going on. I had something on my mind. I was trying to get to the hospital, and I just didn't mention it. But praise God, last Sunday, Mona and I have been with y'all for 11 years. By the grace of God. And this week has probably been the roughest week that I have had since 1994. February the 17th, 1994, to tell you exactly, because my daddy died. The difference in 27 years is that in 1994, I tried everything in this world to heal my hurt. And nothing worked until I found Jesus. Or rather, Jesus found me. I lost my best friend this week. And my heart don't hurt because I lost him. Because I get overwhelming joy when I think about him being in the presence of the Lord. And when Jesus is teaching us about heaven here, he wants us to remember when we experience losses in life, it's not so much about what we have lost. Like Jesus, we are supposed to consider the interest of other people. So it's not what I lost, it's what Bobcat gained. And Jesus says here to the disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. When he says, do not let your heart be troubled, it's a mandate. It's got a negative connotation here. He's saying, look, stop letting your heart be so full of being anxious or being troubled. The same word is used here in chapter 5 when it talks about the waters being stirred at the pool there under Solomon's porches when the crippled man was going to get in the waters. It means that your heart, the center of your being, your thinking, your emotions are stirred up. In other words, you've got distress in your emotions, distress in your mind. Something has happened. The disciples have learned that Jesus is fixing to go to the cross. They don't quite understand the full implications of that, but they do know some things is going on. First of all, Jesus is going to be betrayed. Second of all, Jesus is going to be denied. Third of all, they're not going to be able to stand in their own strength. Peter didn't like the idea of understanding. What do you mean I can't do this on my own? What do you mean I'm weaker than I think I am? Now, if we back up a little bit and understand in the context here in chapter 13, guess what? My Jesus' heart was troubled too. Jesus says, my heart is troubled to the point of death. But here's how much Jesus loves us. He's fixing to face the worst suffering the world has ever known. He's going to die on a cross for the sins of the entire world. Jesus died the penalty that the whole world deserved, whether or not the world ever accepts him. He took the full punishment of sin. And yet, instead of being concerned about himself, he's concerned about the disciples. And he says, look, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be controlled by your emotions. Don't be controlled by your mind. And then he gives them two commands. So, Lord, How are we not going to be troubled when bad things happen to good people? You need to trust in God. And then he says, trust also in me. See, it's not enough to believe in God. Hey, I grew up in church. My mom was one of the most Jesus-loving, God-fearing women I know. My grandmama's was. I believed in God. I believed he exists. I believe I needed to trust in Jesus to go to heaven. But I didn't believe in him enough to give him control of my life. So Jesus says, look, it ain't just enough to believe that God exists. These disciples were Jewish people. They was God's people. They had heard this since they was little. They believed in God. Hey, when trouble comes, we got to call on God. But are you going to call on God and then go on about your life doing things your own way, depending on the things of the world, the things that you've seen happen in the past? Or are you going to really trust God? But Jesus says if your heart is really troubled in time of loss, in time of uncertainty, in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times when the world is chaos and everything is going against you, you've got to trust in me also. Why? And I'm going to cut to the end here right quick. He says, because I am the way. He's talking about he is the way of reconciliation with God. There's no way to have the full benefit of God's blessings in your life if you're still living outside of his will and his holiness. Jesus says, it's not enough to believe that God exists. You got to believe that he sent me to live the life you should have lived, die the death you deserved. I was buried for your sins and for your justification I was raised. Guess what? If you believe in me, here's walking, living proof that you can have a new life. A life that no matter what's going on around you, you'll understand, as Brother Benny sung a while ago, that God's still in control. So Jesus says, look, if you want a cure for the troubled heart, what you need to do is believe in God and believe also in me. So you say, well, how do we trust Jesus when trouble comes, when we lose someone, when we don't know what's going on? You need to trust that Jesus is preparing a room for you in heaven. When you think about this, he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you. Now, it's a form of a Jewish oath here. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. King James Version says many mansions. That comes from the Latin translation. Some other translations say many mansions. That gives us songs like just over that next hill, I have a mansion, and things like that. It's nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus is saying here is, I've got a room prepared for you. You know, I used to drive a truck, traveled all over the United States, and I'd sleep in my truck a whole lot. But a lot of times I'd have help with me. I'd be going to be in a town working for a while, and I'd call ahead and get motels. You know, and we'd work all day. I'd be give out. And at the end of the day, I'd go in that room. All I want to do is just lay down and rest. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. It's a place that you can eternally dwell and rest. Now, the Father's house is what we call heaven. Amen? So, you know, one thing we need to ask ourselves is, where's heaven? Now, I imagine everybody say up, right? We know from the Bible that there's three heavens. You know, it's the heavens we see the birds flying in, the heavens that we see the stars and the planets and the galaxies in, and then it's the heaven outside of that, and that is the presence of God. God's house is God's dwelling place. Wherever God is, that is heaven, that is paradise, that is as good as it gets because you're in the presence of God. And Jesus says, in my Father's house, there's many places. Guess what? God has room for everybody in heaven. Bad news. Not everybody will go to heaven. The only way to go to heaven is by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, lived, died, was buried, was resurrected, has ascended to the right hand of God, is reigning, ruling, and interceding for us right now. Now, Jesus says that If this was not so, I'd have told you. In other words, I'd have told you there's no hope. But Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In verse 3 is a conditional sentence that says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the first thing when we believe and trust in God and want some help with our troubled heart, for our hurting heart, when we grieve, when we feel sorrow, we need to trust Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven. Now, I want to just give you a few things here about what heaven looks like. My buddy Bobcat, he used to ask me, especially in the last, say, 18 months, he would ask me different things about heaven, what heaven's going to be like there. And he'd say, now, Brother Wes, you know, I've watched John Hagee for 30 years. He says, but I just got a question. When we get there, we're going to know each other. When we get there, will I see Jesus then, or is it after the millennium? He would ask me all these questions. Well, I just want to give you a few things. We don't have time to go in all of them. But it's one place in Scripture, there's three verses that tells us a lot about heaven. And you can trace them out in other places. But in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, when the fifth seal is opened and the martyrs are under the altar at the throne of God, and they are speaking to God and God is speaking to them, we learn some things right there that all of us need to know about heaven. Now, first of all, I want to make a disclaimer here that when I'm speaking about heaven, a lot of times we're speaking about the future heaven, and a lot of times we're speaking about the present heaven. The present heaven is paradise. You're in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me, where? Thank y'all for keeping up. In paradise, amen? Now, the present heaven is not fully complete, but after the tribulation, the thousand-year reign, and the white throne of judgment of God, a new heaven and earth, a future heaven and earth, the new Jerusalem will come out of the present heaven down to earth, and something magical is going to happen. It's going to be a miracle. There's going to be a combining of heaven and earth together. We'll spend eternity there. Amen? Now, presently, when we leave this earth, breathe our last breath, here on earth, if we believe in Jesus Christ, our next breath doesn't struggle. It's in heaven. Now, that heaven is in the presence of God, waiting until the return of Christ. Now, when we are in the present heaven, we can trust that Jesus is preparing us a place now in the present heaven. But even my daddy, my grandparents, your grandparents, some of y'all's spouses that are in heaven, that heaven is not as good as it gets. There is a more perfect place coming that's going to be out of the presence of sin, death, Satan. And that's going to be the new heaven and earth. But presently in heaven, we know this. People who die on earth believing in God and Jesus, they are relocated to heaven right away. They immediately go into the presence of the Lord. People in heaven, they remembered their life on earth. The martyrs remembered what had happened to them. They remembered also what was going on earth with some of their brothers and sisters. And they knew some of their family ties. They asked the Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? How long are they going to be killed? How long are you going to let this go on? They could express themselves verbally. And guess what? God talked to them too. God communicated with them in such a way that they understood God. There's also time and space in heaven. They were there. They was under it was space. They was under the altar. Then they was before God. They said, Lord, how much longer? And Lord said, hey, I'm going to take care of it, but you got to what? Wait a little while. So they when we go to heaven, when we leave this earth, we're going to understand God, we're going to see our need to keep learning about God. They ask God questions about your plan. How are you going to finish working this out, Lord? I'm up here in heaven. Things is going pretty good for me, but hey, I got some loved ones down there. They still dealing with the same stuff I was. And Lord said, put on your white robes, which are your righteous deeds. And you just rest and you watch and you're going to see how I'm working this out. I had two people last week ask me if I thought we'd be able to see how God works out some of his judgment. According to that passage, yes. We see God's justice and his full redemption plan being carried out. They also aware of one another. They were speaking to one another. They are free to ask God questions. They learn more about God. They know what's happening on earth. They see and better grasp God's attributes. They know that God, they know what God is doing and how he's controlling everything on earth. They see how God is setting things right. People in heaven, they have some type of physical body. It says, God told them, put on your robes. Now, we will have a resurrection body after the rapture and the return of Christ, but we have some kind of body. We're not just floating around on clouds. The body's important. God created the body. He breathed life into Adam. So they have some kind of physical body. They'll be able to see Jesus. They'll be able to see the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Jesus' resurrected body. I was always wondering about this. I was like, you know, he's got a glorified body. Why wouldn't it be perfect? Why in the world? Why in the world, Brother Benny, would Jesus be in heaven with them scars? So when we get to heaven, we'll never forget what Jesus sacrificed to get us there. Because see what Jesus is talking about right here when he says, I'm going to prepare you a place. He's not talking about putting on his carpenter tools that his daddy left him, Joseph, his earthly father, and keep building you something. He is working to build a new heaven and earth, but he's talking about the preparation of the way that he returned to the Father so that you could follow him. And that's by the way of the cross. Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the way of reconciliation to God through repentance and regeneration. Through believing in me, believing in my life, my death, my burial, my resurrection, my ascension, my reign, and my return for you, you can be reconciled to God. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, I am preparing a place for you. So if you believe and trust that Jesus is preparing a place in heaven, you also need to trust that he will return to take us to be with him. Look what he says here. He says, if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Jesus is in heaven, and he's promising, I'll not only prepare a way for you to get there, a place for you to stay when you get there for eternity in the presence of God, but guess what? I'm coming back to make sure you get there. And you say, were you talking about the return of Christ, the second coming? Yes. But the disciples learned this 3 days later when Jesus returned from the grave. Hey, do you believe Jesus is resurrected? Well, just the same way Jesus was resurrected and come back, he's promising that he'll come back again at his second coming to receive us. And Thessalonians tells us that those who have already fell asleep in the Lord will come with him. They will receive their resurrection bodies. Then we will be called up. We who are still alive, we'll meet them in the air together, and we'll live together with Jesus forever. Now, isn't that a good promise? Y'all ought to be more excited about this. Heaven's real. It's got dimensions. It's got space. It's got time. Most of all, God is there. And Jesus says, not only am I preparing you a way and a place to stay, I'm going to come back and get you. Think about this. I was sitting with my buddy Bobcat, and almost as my watch hit 3 o'clock straight up, I saw him take his last breath. And I'd heard him say, Brother Wes, when I take my last breath here, my first breath will be in heaven. And all I could think about was Stephen. When the clouds parted open, he saw Jesus standing by the throne of God. Jesus wasn't sitting around waiting on him. He was standing to reach out his hand and take him home as the angels ushered Stephen into heaven.
My buddy Bobcat, same thing happened to him Wednesday afternoon. Your loved ones, the same thing happens to them if they've trusted in Jesus. And guess what? If you trust in Jesus, that's going to be the happiest day of your life since the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior. We have a lot of mile markers in life that are really memorable to us. But I hope the day of your salvation is most memorable, to stand out above all. Well, the day we see Jesus face to face, we'll no longer see things as a mirror dimly lit. The things that we helped in part or thought in part will all of a sudden become perfect. We'll see Jesus as he is. That is the promise that Jesus gives here. He says, look, trust me, I'm coming back to get you. And Jesus goes on to say that you know the way where I'm going. And as he said, I know you know the way where I'm going, Thomas is the guy that just needs the facts. You see this, right? Lazarus is dead. We got to go to Bethany. What'd Thomas say? Well, they're going to kill you a while ago. We might as well go with him. What? So we can all die with him. When Jesus is resurrected, Thomas says, well, I ain't going to believe it unless I see his hands and his feet and his side. Here he says, Lord, I don't know the way you're going. I don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? See, he was like, Lord, you're going to give me a map, but if I don't know what city I'm going to, I don't know what road to take. And that just set it up so Jesus could teach them all something and teach you something this morning. Jesus said, the destination is heaven. But what's most important you know is that I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is the way of reconciliation. Jesus is the truth about God. And Jesus is the life in God. In the prologue, or in the first chapter of John, John says that Jesus come in the flesh. It said, and in the Logos was life, and that life was the light of men. So Jesus is the way, and he is the truth or the illumination about God. He teaches us about God, the truth about God. God in the flesh, he revealed him to us. He explained God to us. And he still explains God to us through the Holy Spirit and through Scripture, but also Jesus is the life. You know what the greatest thing about heaven is? Living in Jesus. Jesus says this is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Did you know when you got saved, eternal life started then? You ain't got to wait till you die and go to heaven. You live in Christ here on this earth. But when we get to heaven, the most important thing, does Bobcat want to see his mama? Do I want to see my daddy? Yes. But you know what we want to see most? Jesus. His nail-scarred hand. He died to get us there. Jesus says something here that's exclusive. He says, no one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus also said in chapter 6, that no one comes unto the Son unless the Father draws him. It's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. There's one God. His name's God. God the Father. There's one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings into remembrance the thing Jesus tells us. He teaches us all things that we were to do after we're saved, and he reveals to us the things that are to come. Jesus says that I'm the only way to the Father. That is a stumbling block for a lot of people. Like Thomas. Thomas is like, well, we don't know exactly where you're going, so it might be two or three ways to get there. One way. It's Jesus. So I know what you're thinking. All we need to do is go find Jesus, right? Guess what? Y'all ain't that smart. Jesus says, no, the Father sent me to get you, and he'll draw you to me. You'll hear the truth about his love for you, that he was willing to send me to die for you. You'll accept that gift, and then I'm going to take you home. You know, the blessing of being saved is that we know if we follow Jesus every day, no matter what happens on this earth, we're going to end up in heaven. So today, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I know everyone in here, and I believe every one of you is saved. But if you've never said, Lord, I know that you exist, but I've never surrendered my whole life to you. I've never said, Lord, there's no other way. I can't do enough good. I can't tithe enough. I can't go mow enough people's yards. Lord, I can't do enough to reach heaven. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me so that I know I can trust that the place you're preparing, you'll bring me there. You'll return to get me. Lord God, I believe that Jesus died and I want him to take control of my life. Now, if you're saved and you know you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, here's the second most important question I can ask you today. You've got loved ones and friends, and I do too, that are not saved. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. And that somewhere is either heaven or hell. My question to you, are you happy enough knowing about heaven that you'll call them today and invite them to join you there? Kind Father, I pray that we are not selfish, that, Lord, we're saved and we know we're going to heaven. But, Lord, I pray that you'd put a burden on our heart, that we'd want others to know that through the trials and tribulations and troubles of this earth, that their heart doesn't have to be troubled. That the cure for a troubled heart is trust in God and trust in you, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we would go to them and invite them to put their faith and trust in you, to believe you're in heaven preparing them a place, that you'll return and you will get them, and, Lord, they can spend eternity with you. And, Lord, while we wait, you are the way of life. You are the truth for the life we should live, and you're also the life that we can live in service to God. Lord, I pray that we understand that it's not enough just to believe there's a way to heaven. We got to go ahead and start living on this earth like we're there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on.
We were going to sing a couple songs, but Brother West, God, I was sitting there and God gave me a song and he said, you need to sing this morning. Maybe somebody heard it that needs this song. But it simply says that I'm sheltered in his arms. And we are this morning. It talks about heaven. I don't know what you plan to do when you get to heaven, but Brother West, I know what I want to do. I want to just sit down at his feet and thank him for what he's done for me. For what he's done for me. Let these words of this song minister to you this morning.
Hey!
out. It's the last mile that you must trot. I'll fall asleep and I'll wake in God's new heaven.
Heard this last song. It's simply entitled 1159.
If you don't know Jesus this morning, let this song minister to your life.
Time is winding down. Just look around us. Evil's breaking loose on every side. The devil knows his time is almost over. Soon the clock will stop and Jesus Christ will split the sky. So shout it from the rooftops, proclaim it in streets. Tell your friends and neighbors, tell everyone you meet. We all need a savior, but we're running out of time. He's coming back at midnight, and it's 11:59. God's prepared a place for all his children, free from fear and doubt, dear pain. But we all must choose our destination. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus is his name. So shout it from the rooftops, proclaim it in the streets. Tell your friends and neighbors, tell everyone you meet. We all need a savior, but we're running out of time. He's coming back at midnight. And it's 11:59. At the right hand of the Father, he'll soon stand to his feet. And hear his son, go get my children and bring them home to me. So shout it from the rooftops, proclaim it in the streets. Tell your friends and neighbors, tell everyone you meet. We all need a
Savior, but we're running out of time. He's coming back at midnight, and it's 11:59. Jesus is coming back for a bride, one that's spotless and pure, washed in the blood and ready to go. Time is winding down. It's almost midnight. It's 11:59. God bless you guys, and we appreciate very much, and I've really enjoyed being here with you. And hope to be back real soon. And don't forget, we have CDs and trinkets back there to help feed the bus. None of us are paid. It's all volunteer work. And it does consume a lot of time. So God bless you guys. Brother, you got anything? Closing remarks?
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much for coming. And like I said, remember to check out their CDs back there. Pray for them. They'll be traveling to Anger at Narrow Trail Cowboy Church tonight, and then they'll be heading back to South Carolina. So keep them lifted up in prayers. Pray for us today as we do the service there. I'm actually taking part in that service. I mean, all funerals are difficult for me sometimes, but I know without the Lord's help, I wouldn't ever get through this one. So y'all be praying for that and praying for the families. I pray for each of y'all. If you need anything this week, please call, text, or let me know how I can help you in any way. Anything before we close? All right. I'm going to ask Brother Jesse if he'll close us in prayer.